This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Washington Watch. It's me again, Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council, the very organization that powers this radio program. It's Thanksgiving Eve, and many of you may be on the road heading to family and friends for the holiday. Well, thanks for taking us along. I'm a 30-year media veteran, been at this a long time, producer of this program. Thank you for listening to Washington Watch. Well, remember IRS official Lois Lerner? She fears for her life if files are made public about the organizations targeted during the Obama administration. We'll talk with the very one who she fears may cause this life-threatening situation. Mark Meckler, great guy, president of Citizens for Self-Governance and former Tea Party leader. Excited to have him on today's show. And are you one of those shoppers, heaven forbid, and I know you're there, I know you mean well, but you head out the day after Thanksgiving to go shopping, the so-called Black Friday? Well, you won't want to miss this segment with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. He has his naughty and nice list before you shop. You need to listen to this because I already broke one of them, wish I would have known, about who's nice towards Christmas and what it represents. So you might want to stick around for that. And GQ Magazine has named Colin Kaepernick as its Citizen of the Year, and some even compare him to Martin Luther King Jr. Imagine that. Well, our good friend Evangelist Alveda King, MLK's niece, has something to say about that. She'll join us later in the show, and then we'll hearken back to President George Washington. We'll hear from him. His words when he first set in place the holiday. We'll take your calls, of course, and I want to hear what you're thankful for. And just a reminder, today FRC continues its year-end matching challenge through the end of December. And any amount you donate to FRC receives a matching gift from a generous donor. You donate $10, it turns into $20. $50 turns into $100. $1,000, it turns into $2,000. And it makes this broadcast possible so we can come in here day in and day out and bring you the news and the newsmakers that we know are important to you and that bring you truth. And this broadcast work depends on that. And donations can be given at tonyperkins.com, and your gift will be doubled. You can also make a gift by texting FRC to 444-999, 444-999. You can also find us on Twitter at T Perkins. You can find me at Russ Jones Speaks. And of course, we're on the web at tonyperkins.com. Well, former IRS official Lois Lerner and her deputy are asking a federal court to keep their testimonies in the Tea Party targeting case private forever and ever in a deep, dark hole somewhere over fear of death threats and potential harm to their families if the documents go public. Well, with us now is Mark Meckler, president of Citizens of Self-Governance and co-founder of Tea Party Patriots. Mark, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, great to be with you and nice to hear you on that side of the board today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Well, Mark, we all know you well, and let me see if I can set this up right. The essence of this story is that Lerner and her former IRS deputy, Holly Paz, are now saying these records must remain sealed forever because they fear for their safety. And they claim that the public would be furious if they learned the truth of what they've done. Is that kind of the essence of it?
That's the essence of it. I'd step back just one more step, Rush, which is this comes out of a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit. Yep. Against the IRS and Lois Lerner and Holly Paz for all this targeting. The lawsuit was just settled a few weeks ago, $3.5 million. Attorney General Sessions admitted wrongdoing on behalf of the IRS, said the IRS still owes the American people an apology and these people an apology, which has not been forthcoming. So the case itself is settled. It now goes to the judge for approval, but there's some procedural motions that are hanging out there, and this one is by Lois Lerner and Holly Paz asking that the things that they testified to in their depositions be sealed and not released to the public. And the important part of that is what this means from a legal perspective. I'm a lawyer, and this would set some kind of a precedent. The precedent would be this. It says that if a federal official does something truly heinous and uses their office to target Americans for their political opinions, and they testify about that under oath, that should never be revealed because people would be way too mad at them. And that's just outrageous, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. Well, let's listen back here. Bobby, let's pull this clip we've got of Lois Lerner, and you can help us unpack this a little bit. It goes back a little bit ways, but it'll put everything in context.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Members of this committee have accused me of providing false information when I responded to questions about the IRS processing of applications for tax exemption. I have not done anything wrong. I have not broken any laws. I have not violated any IRS rules or regulations, and I have not provided false information to this or any other congressional committee. And while I would very much like to answer the committee's questions today, I've been advised by my counsel to assert my constitutional right not to testify or answer questions related to the subject matter of this hearing. After very careful consideration, I've decided to follow my counsel's advice and not testify or answer any of the questions today. Because I'm asserting my right not to testify, I know that some people will assume that I've done something wrong. I have not. One of the basic functions of the Fifth Amendment is to protect innocent individuals, and that is the protection I'm invoking today. Thank you.
And there you go, Mark. That was, I'm sure you remember all of that. And what's interesting is I know a couple of different organizations that waited a long time, that went through the process of trying to create a nonprofit organization. And to them, it was very real.
It was not only real, but it was punishment in and of itself. My local Tea Party organization here in Northern California went through this. So about a 73-year-old grandmother runs that organization. I watched what they did to her, and it was outrageous. So for a year, she heard nothing from the IRS, despite her repeated requests to know what was going on with her application. And when she finally heard from them, she got a 12-page questionnaire with just dozens of questions. And that questionnaire, they gave her exactly 10 days to respond, or they would dump her application. And it was unbelievable, the amount of information. It was literally bankers' boxes full of information. They wanted to know the content of the prayers of the group. They wanted to know the speakers who spoke there. They wanted to know anything that was ever given away at a meeting, and they required copies of it, which literally required this group to send a red, white, and blue teddy bear that they had given away at one of their meetings. So this is the kind of stuff that American citizens were put through. They asked for their donor list, which is unconstitutional. It was just abusive, and it was intended to stifle their political speech. And it's important to remember, to put this in context, that Lois Lerner did this exact same thing when she was at the FEC, and she did it to the Christian Coalition. And she dragged them through years of litigation. Hundreds of thousands of pages of documents had to be produced. Ultimately, there was no wrongdoing by the Christian Coalition. It was just Lois Lerner trying to silence groups she doesn't like.
And interesting, you know, Lerner and Paz, they pointed to comments that apparently you made, that the lawsuit would, quote, treat the IRS like the criminal thugs they are. And the court filing argued that his comments have created a fertile environment where threats against them have flourished. And, you know, that's a stretch, wouldn't you say?
Well, you know, I want to be clear. I said those things. I absolutely said those things. And in fact, when we were helping the plaintiffs group look for counsel, I was interested in a tough, hard-driving counsel. In fact, we ended up hiring the Graves Garrett firm out of Kansas City. It's headed by former U.S. attorneys. Because we did want somebody who would prosecute this case. We were not interested in some highbrow Washington, D.C. constitutional litigation. I felt that these people had committed severe constitutional violations, and I wanted them treated as such.
Mm-hmm. So what happens now? So this is what they're saying. Where does it go from here?
So where it goes from here is the judge has to rule on this. There was a preliminary ruling earlier in the case where the judge kept these things under seal, which I found really frustrating. I think that the court is going to lean towards transparency. And here's what's most important in this case. There was a settlement. There is $3.5 million is going to be paid out if the judge approves this settlement. But that's not really what the plaintiffs were after. What the plaintiffs were primarily after, on behalf of the American people, it's just the truth, just the facts. And what Lois Lerner said in that statement before Congress, first of all, she waived her Fifth Amendment rights in regard to everything she said. Congress should have gone after her, should have found her in contempt, should have thrown her in jail. But whether it's Republican or Democrat, they don't have the spines to do the tough stuff. And so what we want to know is what actually happened. And it doesn't seem that outrageous for us, because they actually work for us. We shouldn't have to beg for this information. We shouldn't have to spend millions of dollars. The litigation's cost over $4 million. That's ridiculous and outrageous, because that information belongs to you and me and all the American people.
I read something that you said I found very interesting. For 4 years, and I'll read it, they harassed innocent American citizens for their political beliefs and weaponized an arm of government to intimidate Americans during a hotly contested presidential election. It was an inexcusable display of government corruption, and now we're suddenly supposed to believe Lerner is scared of a guy in a cowboy hat talking to a bunch of little old ladies at a Tea Party event. I love that.
You know, it's funny because I first found out about this from a reporter. He called me up, said, "Have you seen this filing?" And I hadn't. So he sent me a copy. I pulled it up, and I literally laughed out loud. I went and looked at what they had cited, and there's a video online of me speaking to a local Tea Party. I'm being introduced by a 75-year-old grandmother, and I'm literally in my cowboy hat. That's what I wear at home. I'm just kind of a Northern California cowboy, and I'm in my boots and my cowboy hat, and I'm joking around with this audience, mostly retired seniors. Man, if that's what intimidates Lois Lerner, I want you to think about the history of the Tea Party movement. The Tea Party movement is supposedly this radical thing they're all scared of. Never once, and I would encourage anybody to challenge this, in the entire history of every Tea Party event ever held anywhere in the United States of America was anybody ever arrested for anything. There's never been an altercation. There's never been any property damage. No Tea Partier has ever been threatened or arrested for making threats. So this idea that somehow she feels so threatened, to me, it's just outrageous.
And, you know, that's a very interesting point. When when Barack Obama was elected, not once and twice, folks created these Tea Party organizations, grassroots effort, and got to work. And if you look at that in comparison to Antifa and these folks taking to the streets in violence and threatening people, they are drastically different ways to respond to your discontent with who's in office.
Now, that is correct. And this is how good law-abiding Americans respond. And this is what we've always done. Think about the right. It's just a natural inclination of the right. We are law-abiding folks. We respect the rule of law. It's just where we come from. It's not. You don't even really have to think about it. It's just how we're raised. It's what we believe. We believe in biblical principles, right? And so treat others as you want to be treated. It's just how we are. If you look at the 9/12 event on Capitol Mall, over a million people came out on Capitol Mall. There literally was not a gum wrapper on the ground when that thing was done. So this is how Tea Partiers behave. This is how conservatives behave. And important to note that this targeting that was done was just not Tea Party organizations. It was organizations with the name Liberty in their name, Patriot in their name. It was Christian conservative groups. It was pro-Israel groups. And it was anybody who was criticizing how the government operates. So this was really pretty much like a secret police operation to crush political opposition. It should have never happened, and we still don't know exactly how it happened, and we deserve to know.
Well, Mark Meckler, we're at the end of our time here. President of Citizens for Self-Governance. You're heading out today for family and friends?
I've got them all coming in. My son's coming home from the Marines, so we're pretty happy to have him here.
Well, you thank him from us for his service. Mark Meckler, thank you so much. Very informative. You have a blessed Thanksgiving, and
we'll talk to you next time.
Well, coming up next, are you a Black Friday shopper? Matt Staver of Liberty Council will join us. Check that naughty and nice list before you shop. He's got a list of all of these companies and how they look at you as a Christian and how they look at the holiday of Christmas. And do they embrace it or do they repel it? Well, when we come back, we'll talk to Matt. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers. In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Thanksgiving Eve, you're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. I love Thanksgiving. I love to cook. Love all the foods that come together. I could have easily been a chef. Just a little note about your guest host, Russ Jones, here. Love to cook. Could have gone to culinary school, but I didn't. So now we love on friends and family. We prefer to eat at home. I can cook a much better meal at home than I can out these days, sadly. But many of you will be out shopping and eating and whatnot. And the day after Thanksgiving is typically a huge shopping day. And before you do your Christmas shopping, Liberty Council provides the naughty and nice list, which catalogs which stores are censoring Christmas and which are publicly celebrating it. Joining us now is Matt Staver, president of the Liberty Council. Matt, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's good to be with you, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you. I know you're probably busy getting ready for all this, and thanks for taking time to join us today. Matt, this is called Liberty Council's Friend or Foe Christmas Campaign, which educates and, if necessary, litigates to make sure that Christmas and Christian themes are not censored. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we launched it 15 years ago. First of all, focused on the public square, nativity scenes, for example, in public places like city halls, county property, state property, and Christmas carols, for example, in the public schools. But then a year later, 14 years ago, a year after we launched this, we launched the Naughty and Nice List as part of it as well. What we found happening in the public square where Christmas was being censored, where nativity scenes were being challenged, or students were told they couldn't wear red or green colors because they're Christmas, believe it or not, or mm-hmm. they couldn't sing Christmas songs that mentioned even God. We saw that in the retail market, something odd was taking place. You couldn't find Christmas trees. Even Walmart had holiday trees. They didn't have Christmas trees. And even Walmart 15 years ago was telling the cashiers that you couldn't even return a greeting of Merry Christmas when the customer initiated the greeting of Merry Christmas. So that's why we launched the Naughty and Nice List, which catalogs the retailers that are nice, those that acknowledge Christmas, but on the other hand, the naughty list, those that want to profit off Christmas while pretending it doesn't exist. And thankfully, I can say that over these 14 years of the Naughty Nice List, there's been a huge shift. Walmart immediately after this first year shift to the nice side. They heard from their customers that weren't happy and actually even returned some of the shopping goods because Walmart was censoring Christmas. They were one of the first major retailers that shipped, that jumped from the naughty side to the nice side. Sears and many, many others did the same thing as well. But there's a few hard nuts to crack. Some of them have always been on the naughty side, including J. Crew Outfitters and several others like Radio Shack and a few others.
Well, Matt, I need to admit this. Yesterday, you know, I'm going to see my son for Thanksgiving. Had to buy an air mattress for us to sleep on, right? Yeah. Went to Dick's Sporting Goods. I read your list today.
You read it today.
Yeah, I read your list
well,
today.
You know,
went there last night, bought a really nice air mattress. I wish I, anyway.
You can actually go to Dick's even now and say, look, I'm a customer. I even bought yesterday. But you know what? I'm not going to shop anymore during this Christmas season until you ultimately change your ways. That really makes a difference. You know, we're urging people to vote with their shopping dollars. But also, when you do that, you need to let the retailers know. You need to let the ones know why you're shopping there. If you're in the store and they're playing Christmas music, or even if they have Christmas as a Christmas tree, as silly as it sounds, believe it or not, 14, 10 years ago, even in some places now, you can't find Christmas trees. They're holiday trees. Most of that shift has gone the right way, however, because people have made their voice known. On the other hand, on the naughty side, make your voice known to them. You can send them an email. We have emails for many of these or websites, and we have phone numbers as well. You can contact these retailers and make your voice known why you're going to shop at their competitor rather than at their store, unless and until they begin acknowledging Christmas.
Isn't it interesting how some areas of the PC culture are shifting in a good way, like you're pointing out, and then we're going to such huge extremes in the other? It's like, why can't it all happen at the same time?
Well, you know, these retailers, by and large, they're in the they're in the business to make money. And many of these may have been following advice of some of their marketers, who knows, may have been following advice of people who are anti-Christian or anti-Christmas. But they know that, for the most part, they want to make money. So they're wanting to satisfy their customer base. But then there's these few that, irrespective of what the customer base says, they're going to censor Christmas. And some of them pay the price for it. Like, for example, Radio Shack. It's not doing very well. Hasn't done very well. And there's other alternatives. And the more people ultimately make their voice known to them, unfortunately, just like Target, you know, Target has suffered as well because they wanted to get involved in the culture wars over the bathroom issue and the LGBT agenda. And, you know, they've lost millions and millions and millions of dollars in market share. So people can make a difference. Most of the time, the vast majority of the time, the retailers will change when they hear from their customer base. It's those few hard nuts that ultimately don't. But ultimately, I think they're going to pay the price.
And do it nicely, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely,
do it nicely.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, you have to be nice. I mean, this is, after all, the Christmas season. You don't want to be, you know, the bah humbug Scrooge kind of approach. You still want to have the spirit of the season and just politely tell them why. This is what happened, like I said, with Walmart and Sears. And Sears was one of these that actually shifted their retail marketing message in the middle of the holiday season and began acknowledging Christmas.
Well, Matt, we're out of time. Real quick, where can people go find the list?
They can get it at lc.org. That's lc.org.
All right. Matt Staver, president of Liberty Council, may you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Thank you for squeezing us in today.
Thank you. God bless. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. God bless you, too. Well, coming up next, GQ Magazine is named the player that first started the kneeling movement in the NFL, Colin Kaepernick, Citizen of the Year, and some claim he even has traits of Martin Luther King. Amazing. But the niece of MLK has something to say about that. Evangelist Alveda King is here next. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Washington Watch is powered by the Family Research Council. Happy Thanksgiving in advance. Well, earlier in the month, GQ magazine named Colin Kaepernick as its 2017 Citizen of the Year. The former NFL quarterback launched a trend of kneeling during the national anthem to protest racism and police brutality in America. And the Headline News Network recently compared Kaepernick to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Kind of interesting. Well, here with reaction is evangelist Alveda King, one of our favorite people. Just love this woman. The niece of Dr. Martin Luther King and director of Civil Rights for the Unborn for Priests for Life. Alveda, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. And hello to all the listeners of Washington Watch. And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Well, kind of interesting. I think a lot of folks have been trying to figure out what is the protest, and it's been kind of hard to dismantle, unpack all of this. But I know you've got some thoughts on this, and you speak so eloquently about all of this. What are your thoughts?
Well, at this beautiful Thanksgiving season, I thought that it was very interesting when Mr. Kaepernick took the knee, as it's called, and that wasn't the first time that happened. Of course, throughout history, you've seen people take the knee, even as far back as the Roman Empire, after World War II, certainly in some different types of sports and all of that, to make a protest or to make a statement. However, it was not his taking the knee, and he did it nonviolently, actually. And I wasn't disturbed by that, but to imply that it was done in the same spirit as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who took the knee during the 20th century, during the Civil Rights Movement. My father, his brother, Reverend Alfred Daniel Williams King, A.D., did it as well. And I often include the picture of my dad taking the knee in prayer, in protest of the injustices of our nation. And so I was making the point throughout that time, and I want to remind us again, when we take the knee in protest, it should be done in a spiritual manner, asking God to help us and deliver our nation. Otherwise, it can cause strife and anarchy and arguments, as we see happen.
And Dr. King, Martin Luther King Jr., your uncle, he quoted scripture all the time to remind us.
Scripture, pray, said, like Daniel in the Old Testament, or certainly like Paul and the apostles in the New Testament, quoting Scripture, asking God to help us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is one that many of us know. And if God's people who are called by God's name will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek God's face, God will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. So I did not notice any repentance in Colin's stance. Mm-hmm. And so without that repentance, we are not going to have our solutions and forgiveness of our, you know, asking God to forgive us and then to forgive others, forgive us as our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. All of that is going to have to come into play if we're truly going to be blessed here in America.
I heard you mention the other day, a friend of yours, a black lady that you greatly admire, said not long ago, at least Kaepernick started the conversation, and that her words bothered you. Tell us how so.
Well, he started the conversation, of course, but the conversation escalated into strife and violence. So starting the conversation, I've been saying that to several people as time is going on now. There are a lot of women who are very upset about abuse and all of that, and I've experienced abuse in my life and abortions and various things that were very painful and disturbing. But if we are going to make a protest and start a conversation, we must have a solution and an end game or an end goal in mind. And that should be healing, reconciliation, repentance, forgiveness. All of that should be included in it. And if that's not included, then we're just making noise. So to start a conversation that's noisy without solutions is not going to be best for all of us.
And now, Vita, you know, without a doubt, racism is ugly. No place for it. But I find most see humanity not through that filter of ugliness of which Kaepernick protests, from police to lawmakers. That's just the world I live in. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think most people don't see the world that way.
Well, racism is a sin because Acts 17:26 says, of one blood God made all people. So we've been deceived, and Satan knows that if you can get people to argue over anything, skin color, gender, money, there's going to be confusion, because where there's envy and strife, the Bible says that there's confusion in every evil work. So we are not separate races. So the first thing we have to do is to repent, Lord. We fell for the lie. We thought we were separate races, but now, Lord, we admit that your word is true, that we are one blood, one human race, different skin color. We're not colorblind. We can see that. Different ethnicities and different stations in life. But you desire for us to do what my uncle said. Martin Luther King Jr. said we must learn to live together as brothers, and I added sisters, or perish together as fools. We're not going to be able to be brothers and sisters if we're separate races. So we're one blood, and we need to repent and accept that.
Amen. Well, one quick question, really important. Bread or cornbread stuffing?
I tell you, we have a little bit of both because people like both. So that's how that goes.
Amen. Amen. Well, Evangelist Alveda King. Happy Thanksgiving to you, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Director of Civil Rights for the Unborn for Priest for Life. Hey, give us a call right now. What are you thankful for? 866-372-7234. Thanksgiving Eve. This is Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC speaker series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
All right, Wednesday. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. We're rounding that corner to the big turkey and the dressing and the giblets. All of that good stuff. By the way, if you're thankful for Washington Watch, would you text a gift to FRC 444-999-444-999. Text us a gift, or go to TonyPerkins.com. We depend on the generous donations from our listeners. And if you do it right now, between now and the end of December, this is very awesome because of a generous donor, your gift will be doubled. So if you give $50, it'll become $100, $200, $400, so on and so forth. So go to TonyPerkins.com, or you can text FRC 444-999. Well, did you know that former President George Washington, proclaimed Thanksgiving? Let's listen to his words. And if you were calling and you're on hold, don't go away. We're going to get to you. But I want to do this because I think it's important that we hear from our first president. Let's listen. President George Washington's Thanksgiving Day proclamation, it was written at New York on October 3rd, 1789. It starts out, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, for is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, and that will be. that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government, for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789. Now, that is something to be thankful for. Let's go to Iris in Texas. Iris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you. It's been enjoyable listening to you the last 2 days when I'm usually in the kitchen cooking at this time. But that was a beautiful letter, and that's the second time I've heard it today, and it's an awesome prayer. But I'm most thankful for Jesus being my Lord and Savior for over 30 years, and my husband's as well, and our families. And I said the top three is having Jesus as an active part of our lives and our family's life, having our daughter close by and our family and our grandchildren, and having our health. And as we're both retired, when you have all those three things at our age in this point of life, and I'm 70 and my husband's 77, that's an amazing thing to have and to live in this country. It's an awesome gift.
Amen, Iris. Thank you so much for those thoughts, and you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Let's go to Mary in the Sunflower State in Kansas. You know, I lived there for about 2 decades. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I would like to think that we have a president that is fighting for our Christian rights, and that I pray that the other people in the area trying to cause problems for him will start realizing that. Mm-hmm. And I would also like to thank for shows like Washington Watch, that they give out the news and have guests on there that are helping us learn the truth and on every step of life. And so without Jesus behind y'all, y'all wouldn't be able to do that. But I do want to thank everybody behind the scenes, and I'm thankful for anybody that answers the phone. It takes my name to put me on hold. That everybody's important to get that show on the air for us to learn the truth about everything that's going on here in this world now.
Well,
thank
amen.
You so much.
And Mary, thank you for that. We appreciate that. It does take, you'd be surprised how much it takes to get a show like this on the air. Hey, give us a call at 866-372-7234. What are you going to talk about around the Thanksgiving table? Did you know that 6 in 10 Americans say they dread the topic coming up about politics at Thanksgiving or Christmas? But better to embrace the challenge than try to stave off the inevitable, I guess. So that's according to an NPR, a PBS NewsHour poll. And then, you know, we were talking about GQ magazine earlier, and Kaepernick being named the Citizen of the Year. But according to GQ, are you ready for this? It's your civic duty to ruin Thanksgiving for your Trump-supporting family members. Well, that would be interesting. How many of you avoid politics around the table? And if so, what do you talk about? Or can you talk about it? Some families are blessed to be all on the same page and be able to talk about issues and not have World War III. And others, you know, maybe we should just not talk about politics and we'll just talk about sports. Well, now you can't even do that because so many people are taking a knee. And sports used to be the place where we could all safely gather around the TV and not have there be a problem. Well, you're listening to Washington Watch, and I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call at 866-372-7234. Let's go to Daniel in Louisiana. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, sir? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, how are you?
Yeah, fine, thank you. I just want to, I also want to thank God for that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And that was, yeah, thank you for reading that letter from President Washington.
Yes.
And that was, yeah, that was wonderful. And we do really need to thank the Lord for our, for the freedom that we have, the freedom of worship, the freedom of speech, things like that. And I'm thankful for Washington Watch that I can listen to y'all on the way home. And, for Pastor Tony Perkins, and yeah, thank you so much.
And he, Tony's awesome. He, I tell you, talk about a man that's in the trenches and in the battle and leading the charge. He is one of those folks that bring light to the darkness. Let me ask you this: what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
My sister invited us over. My wife and I and children and my parents will be there. And yeah, we're gonna celebrate and we'll spend time with family and just be thankful, enjoy some good food.
Do you? Okay, so this is the big story of the day: bread stuffing or cornbread? Which one?
I've never heard of bread. Oh, you say bread? Did you say bread stuffing or corn stuffing?
Stuffing or you know the cornmeal kind.
Dressing. Oh. Yeah. I like everything. I like,
especially if you put gravy on it. It all tastes good.
Oh yes, sir. My mom makes it with the boiled eggs and the gravy. Man,
there you go.
Yes, all sir. Right. Have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, you too. Thanks, Daniel. Let's go to Teresa in Arkansas. Teresa, welcome to Washington Watch. Did we lose Teresa? She probably was cooking gravy and it was boiling over or something like that. But you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. And give us a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. But what are some of the things that you will probably avoid? Jeff in Indiana, you say no politics at the table. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
No politics at the table?
I'm not going to be able to discuss politics. My sons almost disown me.
Are you the outcast?
Well, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
My sister's hosting the Thanksgiving, and we are so in love with our Lord.
Yes.
But the politics, we're diametrically opposed. I'm wanting folks to have all the benefits that the government can afford, and I'm really reluctant to embrace a bully for a president, and that makes my son and I really at odds.
Oh, well, you know what? Some of these folks at the holidays we don't see very often, right? So it's you have to navigate carefully and know where it's okay to talk and okay to disagree. But here's some of the topics we're supposed to avoid if you've got a divided political house: Trump, Hillary, Betsy DeVos, the wall, the pipeline, Obamacare, and that play Hamilton, and Star Wars. Why Star Wars?
I've been opposed to Star Wars for a long time, so that puts me at odds with most of the folks in our family.
Well, Jeff in Indiana, thanks so much, and you have a blessed Thanksgiving.
God bless you, too. Bye.
God bless you, too. Let's go to Roberta in the Show Me State, Missouri. Roberta, welcome to Washington Watch.
Why, thank you for having me on. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. You're in my home state. I grew up in Kansas City. And
big city.
Yeah, I went to Mizzou, you know, way before the meltdown and all that stuff, you know. So welcome to Washington Watch. And you say you're thankful for one of your kids.
I am thankful for both of my girls, all four of my grandchildren, the air in my lungs, and Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen. Well, we're taking a survey, cornbread stuffing or just plain old bread stuffing?
I like to mix my cornbread stuffing with my turkey stuffing.
Yes.
I like them both together.
Yeah. And what about cranberry sauce? Do you make cranberry sauce?
Oh, I do it right out of a can. There's so much cooking to do. I got to have it chilled and right out of the can.
Now, cranberries, that's my dish. I really go to town on homemade cranberry sauce. Well, Roberta in Missouri, thank you so much, and may you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Let's go to Ray in Oklahoma. Ray, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
You driving?
I am driving home from work.
Well, be safe, and what do you got?
We really appreciate you guys being on and what you do. It's amazing to be able to listen to good shows on the way home from work.
Well, thank you so much. And are you getting together with family tomorrow?
I am. I'm headed for Wichita, Kansas tomorrow morning.
Family,
yes.
I'm going to be there too, up north.
Are you? Good.
Yeah. Got family that way, and going to get together and love on my kids and all of that good stuff. So I appreciate you calling, Ray, and you have a blessed Thanksgiving.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Earl in Indiana. Earl? Welcome to Washington Watch. Do we have Earl? All right. I don't know where Earl went, but one of the things that I think we have a great opportunity to do is to volunteer and whatnot and to love on our family. So I hope all of you get to do that. Earl, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, well, I want to thank God for the fact that we have a free country still. I want to thank God for the blessing of having President Trump as our president. I want to thank God that I know Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
I want to thank God for all my family members who are serving God. I want to thank God I served my country, and I'm proud that I did. I'm not ashamed of the United States, and I'm very proud that the people who serve God that had enough sense to vote for Trump.
Well, that is certainly a wonderful thing that you know, all of those things that you lifted up are worthy to be thankful for. What branch of the military did you serve in?
I was a specialist, fifth class.
Yes, and are you going to be able to get
to?
Yes, are you going to be able to get together with friends and family tomorrow?
Yes, I will. I've got my sister's daughter has a restaurant in Terre Haute, Indiana.
All right,
and her children and her family and my family are going to have dinner there tomorrow evening.
Wonderful. Well, Earl of Indiana, thank you so much for calling Washington Watch. It's been wonderful to be with you this week. From Psalms 30:12, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks to you forever. May all of you have a blessed Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week. Blessings to you in the name of God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.